Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
All right, very welcome back. 53106, the text number here. If you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet the show at Off the Ball. GAA and News Talk is with Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsor of the GAA Hurling Under 21 Championship, bringing customers closer to the action at bgerewards.ie. And it is to GAA we're turning, because it's about time that we did some analysis on the nitty gritty of what's going to happen in the Tyrone Dublin game on Sunday in Croke Park in the All Ireland Football semi final. To that end, I'm delighted to say that Dave is with us, and also in studio Conor McKeown of the Herald. And on the line, we've got Enda McGinley of Tyrone. You're all very welcome, lads. Enda, what's your level of confidence heading into this one? We've kind of previewed every Tyrone game with you this season, and your confidence has grown steadily as the season has progressed. Right now, though, it must be being tested as it's never been tested all season.
It has been tested to the limit this week, Ger. I have cycled from being confident and a fire burning in the belly, like being a player back in the day, to fearing that Dublin could actually do a complete job on Tyrone. And I think that's, and I think I'm not alone in that, chatting to lots of people up here. We really don't know, bottom line, where this Tyrone is at. We have no hard evidence. We have lots of speculation. We know from their tactics that it's their defensive tactic that Dublin can have struggled with that in the past. We know with their pace, their physicality, the amount of preparation they put in, that they are a top team in that regard. But in terms of their scoring threat, we don't know if that counts against the top teams, because we haven't seen it. In terms of their scoring forwards, we don't know if they count against the top teams because we haven't seen it. And in terms of their defensive shield, we don't know if that works against a team that has so many sharpshooters like Dublin. So there's just so many unknowns. So for me, this game could go any number of three ways. It could be a hammer, and Dublin could hammer Tyrone. That is a possibility. I think it's a small possibility, but it is possible. I think the most likely thing is a Dublin victory by a number of points. And then there is the possibility that Tyrone can pull this off. So that's, I suppose, why it's so intriguing. That's why it has generated so much chat. But in terms of my confidence, I just don't know where I'm at.
If they are going to do it, the evolution in the attacking play that we've seen from Tyrone this year is the thing I think that will give Tyrone fans some confidence. We've seen them just add a couple of kinks to what was a very predictable game plan last year, but this year there are so many different ways that they are attacking. They can attack in waves from deep, or they can attack in just smaller pods of two and three from deep as well.
That's it. Mark Bradley has made a huge impact. He's small physically, but he has made a huge impact. His movement is brilliant in the full forward line, and he has meant that Dublin or Tyrone have had something in that full forward line to hit. He's chipped in with a few scores, which maybe we weren't doing in other days. But again, the caveat to that is Tyrone last year in the Ulster Championship racked up some massive scores against Derry and Cavan. They struggled against Donegal but broke free at the end, and everybody expected them to really thrive when they came to Croke Park against Mayo, and yet they really played within themselves that day. They played defensively, they seemed to just be stuck in their system, and they never really threw the shackles off. They had chances to win it at the end of that game, or to at least get a draw out of it, and they failed to get the crucial scores when it mattered, and the free kick thing was back haunting them as well. This year we haven't seen them. Donegal failed to put up that challenge to really test their mettle, so we still haven't got the same answers that we had last year. Yes, I would say their attacking play is much more consistent this year, but bottom line, they still haven't been tested in the manner that Dublin's going to test them, so we will find out on Sunday.
Conor, if you're in the Dublin camp, what are you looking at this Tyrone team that they're offering, or that the challenge that they're bringing is in any way different from stuff that you've seen so far this season?
Well, I think that they're just better at doing what they have done well over the last couple of years. I was reading Cathal McCarron's autobiography the other day, and this was written last year, and he spoke even then of the work that they're doing with their strength and conditioning coach, and the guys' times just for 100 metre sprints had improved by 10-15%. So I think it's just very incremental progress. I think they're very consistent in, they don't give away very many frees. Their discipline and the tackle is extremely good, as well as their technique. They don't just get men behind the ball. They're incredibly organised. Everybody knows what they can do. They kind of lead the ball carrier into a corner, into a path of least resistance, and isolate them and take the ball off them. And just when they break, those players, Niall Sludden, Peter Hart, Tiernan McCann and Matty Donnelly, you know, they just don't give the ball away. They're incredibly good ball handlers. They move the ball from 45 to the opposition's 45 very quickly. And one thing that I was very impressed with them this year is that they have an awful lot of players who can kick the ball over the bar from long range. Against Donegal, when they came up against that exclusion zone, against that D, they just popped it back. And, you know, even fellas in their full back line, McCarron himself, Padraig Hamsey in particular, can kick long range points. So I think they have a little bit of everything.
That unknown that End is talking about, it's kind of the same sense a little bit for me about this Dublin team this year in the championship, because they just haven't properly been tested. We kind of hoped Monaghan would give them a test. We kind of hoped Kildare would give them a test. But actually, none of those tests were real tests at all.
No, I don't think so. Bar Mayo, who had their own struggles early on in the league, I think that's probably the case for all the All-Ireland semi-finalists this week. I think the intriguing thing from the Dublin point of view is that everything, you know, a huge amount of what they do in training now is based around this particular challenge that they're going to face on Sunday.
Like, is it? How do you game plan for that?
Well, since the 2014 loss to Donegal, obviously we heard about, Jim Gavin had a basketball coach in, talking to them about screens, talking to them about zonal defence. And you can see, like, they can click into gear very early in the game. They can see what they're faced and they can adapt to it. So, I mean, on Sunday, you'll see Dublin's corner forwards will stay right in the corners. Their wing forwards will hug the wings. They'll try and stretch the thrown cover as thin as they possibly can. And they'll send runners to occupy sweepers, and then eventually they'll wait for a chink of light and, you know, James McCarthy or Jack McCaffrey will come bombing through. But the one thing that they're very, very good at now, and, you know, it might go to the chagrin of a lot of people in Croke Park on Sunday, is they're very comfortable just cradling possession. They're very comfortable moving the ball along midfield, laterally, and inviting the press, because, you know, there's no shot clock.
Get in!
Yeah, well, that's what you hear all the time. Yeah. But if Dublin are ahead, like, they will operate on the basis that there's no shot clock, they don't have to take a shot, and it's incumbent upon the opposition to come out and try and press the ball. And once they do, they get in behind.
And they can just keep crabbing back and forth across the field. Kieran Kilkenny, Brian Fenton and James McCarthy will be those three players that will be perfectly happy to go backwards if necessary. You mentioned the fact that they'll have their two wing forwards hugging the Cusickstown and Hoganstown sidelines, which allows Kilkenny to give it to one of them. They don't punch the hole, so they just recycle it, come back out 45, 50 metres from goal. And I wonder, Ender, is there a fear in Tyrone that the oxygen which fuels the Tyrone counter-attacking game and has led to such high scores, I think it's an average of about 24 points in their championship games this summer, that Dublin just simply will not turn the ball over on Sunday. Even if it means that Dublin have to keep going back out towards the halfway point and continuing to recycle the ball again and again.
That's my fear. It's my fear, actually, even just for the game itself. Like, I suppose, like any, like most supporters, you want your own team to win, but you also want the game to live up to what it really could be. And I think if these two teams go at each other, it could be a classic game. Equally, if Dublin remain really, really defensive and refuse to engage the Tyrone blanket and just wait for their nieces and Tyrone are sitting back in the blanket, we could have the 2011 game all over again between Dublin and Donegal, where it was just a horrible chess match between two talented teams. And that's my hope. Gavin has often spoke about how Dublin are a very traditional team, how they love playing attacking football, how they play open football. I think this will be a wee test on Sunday, because if Dublin truly go at this game, that gives Tyrone a chance. If Dublin are clever and pragmatic about this and just want to beat Tyrone and just get the result, I think they play defensive and they hold possession and they wait for the wee chinks of light, because they have more sharpshooters that if they eventually work after 2-3 minutes of play, they eventually work a wee metre or two of space, they can ping more of them shots over the bar than I think Tyrone can. So I suppose it's a case of sort of tactical vanity, whether Gavin sticks to his guns or this traditional approach that Dublin supposedly have. To be honest, I don't really buy into it. I think they can be as defensive as anybody out there. And if Dublin do set up and stay defensive and stay really controlled, we could unfortunately miss out on a great game. And if the game is very controlled like that, I think that plays into Dublin's hands. I think Tyrone need this game to be frantic and to be a bit open and certainly very high energy if they're to stand any chance.
Dublin obviously did concede a relatively big score against Kildare. Was that just because they didn't need to worry about winning that game? Like, it was over relatively, you know, they almost got a bit bored 20 minutes in thinking, geez, this is over.
Well, I think that Kildare had a go that day, you know, as they were kind of praised for it. And I think Dublin really, you know, Dublin will operate now off the basis that if you want to have a go, they'll play on those terms and they'll feel confident that they can beat them. And I think they did to Kildare that day. They probably knew that they would concede a score, but they would definitely put up a bigger run.
They did it with a 9-point lead. Yeah. They conceded that score with a 9-point lead. So.
And I think by the same token, I think Enda's absolutely right. If you like, when Dublin played against Monaghan the last day, they had four back at all stages. They had two markers, and then they had Philly McMahon and Keane O'Sullivan. And if Philly McMahon went on, somebody else dropped back. So I think that Dublin would play with four back at all stages. It could only be Mark Bradley back there. It might be nobody back there, but... You know, you talk about the 2011 game against Donegal, and I remember talking to Mickey Whelan subsequently, maybe a couple of years later, and he said that the winning of that game from Dublin's point of view wasn't changing the game to a running game in the second half, although they did that, but it was keeping six men back at all times. It because, you know, okay, they were shooting from a possible angle, they weren't putting up a score, but Donegal only broke in ones and twos that day, and they only scored 6 points, and Dublin always felt that if they kept six men in the traditional defensive positions, they would keep Donegal to a score that Dublin could beat regardless of how many men they got behind the ball.
And so that's more of a template maybe for what happens this weekend.
I think so, yeah.
Than what we've been
seeing.
You
could see the scars from the Donegal semi-final in 2014 in that second half against Monaghan in the All-Ireland quarter-final. Despite the fact that they were still comfortably ahead, it was still 4-on-2 at all stages. There was only McManus and McCarron that were in there. And as you say, they had those two boys covering Johnny Cooper and Philly McMahon.
Even if you go back to the All-Ireland quarter-final last year against Donegal, Dublin were 15 points a better team than Donegal that day. But, you know, they used that system. They used that patient way of moving the ball. They stuck rigidly to keeping enough men back that they wouldn't get hit on the break. And I don't know, was it by 4 points or 5 points that they won that game, but they were miles better. So I don't think the end is fair of Dublin hammering Tyrone. I don't think they're actually set up to hammer a team like Tyrone anymore. I think they'll be more cautious. They will obviously want to lead. They will obviously want to get an early goal, but I can see them kind of cradling possession and you know, waiting for gaps to go into rather than trying to force the issue.
And is Colin Kavanagh fit?
Colm Kavanagh's a fairly hardy character, so I would be fully confident that he will be fit to take part. I don't, from what I can hear, there's no notable injury concerns within the Tyrone camp.
Yeah, because he looked fairly bad at the end of the last day, but
yeah, it was a real funny them bangs. It was sort of to the hinge, and they'll not stop you playing, but. I remember myself, I took a really bad bang in 05 to the hinge from Francie Bellew, who wasn't never the softest of characters. And between that and the All-Ireland final, it was about 3 weeks. And I only trained in maybe the Tuesday coming into the match, which was only really a loosening up thing before the All-Ireland final. I remember in the All-Ireland final myself, I just ran out of gas with about 20 minutes to go, just because I hadn't any training at all between the two games. So Colin will definitely be playing. I think he'll be fit to play, but for any player, you want to be training regularly just to keep yourself at a really good level, because Colm is so crucial to Tyrone, and his role on Sunday is going to be so crucial to Tyrone, as it has been really for the past 2-3 seasons.
Yeah, because when Conor was talking earlier on about how that defensive system works and how clever they are at kind of shepherding people down blind alleys and then taking the ball away from them, when they have that and making sure that everybody is in position to do that, Kavanagh has two impacts. One is the marshalling of everybody and making sure everybody knows what they're doing by just the positions he takes up, but then also being the person who goes, okay, and feeds the attack by starting it off.
Absolutely, and then he'll pick his moments. He'll pick his 2-3 times in each half, or maybe 2-3 times total in a game where he bombs forward. And often he picks them perfect opportunities, and he usually causes damage. And I know that's something the Tyrone players work on, not just, you know, running and these 4 or 5 players go and attack. It's they're coached as much about the importance of getting rest and figuring in rest into the game. So you'll see Petey Hart at times, maybe after 2 or 3 lung bursters, you'll see him just sit in the full forward line for a while. Somebody else then fills into his role. But that importance of taking rest, so that whenever you're going at top speed, rather than maybe in my time or in my game, it was about continuous work and trying to be working all the time. Now for Tyrone, they're sort of coached, when you're working at maximum pace, then you rest, then you go again at maximum pace, and the team sort of goes round in cycles, and various men are doing it at various times. They'll take their rests in various patches of the pitch, and other men filter into defensive shields. So it is a huge team effort, but certainly when the key men are going, the likes of Colm Kavanagh, the likes of Tiernan McCann, the likes of Petey Hart, that tends to be when the damage is done.
And all the players you've mentioned there, Colm, they're so physical, each of them. And certainly from the second half of the Donegal game onwards, Tyrone have just hugely physically overpowered the teams as they were playing. And that feeds into their game plan of, as Ger described, taking the ball off them down these blind alleys and surging forward in these ways. Dublin, you would imagine, will not be overpowered physically. That whatever Tyrone are able to bring to the game in that regard, Dublin will be able to match it. So what damage or what restriction does that put on Mickey Hart getting his team to execute the game plan that served them so well throughout this year's championship?
For me, it's still going to be difficult for Tyrone. Tyrone aren't going to blow them away the way they did all our teams. So Dublin are going to be harder to dispossess. But the main thing is making it as competitive for Dublin as possible. If you're restricting Dublin, then you're giving yourself a chance. You know, if Tyrone are wanting to keep this game tight, it's not necessarily that they have to be winning every one of them. It's about restricting Dublin as much as possible and then taking them chances when you get them up front. And I suppose that's what Tyrone missed out a few times against Armagh and certainly missed last year against Mayo, that ruthlessness when you get the chances up front. So I'm not overly worried that Dublin are going to be much tougher than any other team in terms of dispossessing. I think this is a huge game. It's going to be a battle. You expect it to be tough. You don't expect to be winning all of them 50-50s, but it's making it a battle. And because Dublin have been so ruthless, Mayo and Kerry, when they have rattled them best, have just shook them up, and they didn't blow them out of the water, but they have at least made it a real tight game. Tyrone's aim is to make this a tight game coming into the last 10 minutes. Then it's anybody's.
What are Dublin scared of? Like, what is the type of thing that Dublin see in front of them and go, ooh, haven't seen this before?
I just don't think that they've played a team. Like, you know, going back over it, like, they have practiced this art of breaking down a team like Tyrone ad nauseum since 2014, but I don't think they've come up against it. Like, you know, that was the final flourish of that great Donegal team.
Yeah.
They never scaled those heights. And I just think that Tyrone do this much better than anybody else. And, you know, Croke Park, when it's full, is great for Dublin when it's going well. But when they get frustrated, when they, you know, have three or four waves of attack where the ball comes back at them, where they concede one at the far end, the place can get a little bit eerie from a Dublin point of view. And, look, there is a historical thing there with Mickey Hart too. Like, you know, Enda's team and Mickey Hart's team of the noughties kind of spooked Dublin. And there is a bit of a wariness there about it. Mickey Hart managed Tyrone team that you could arrive on Sunday and all of a sudden something's thrown at you that you just didn't prepare for. But what that is, I'm not exactly sure.
Brian Lacey, the former Kildare / Tip footballer, has done a bit of analysis comparing some of the running lines that Tyrone are taking with the Johnny Sexton loop. I don't know if you've seen this. It's been on Twitter. Is there anything to this, Enda? Is Mickey Hart borrowing from particularly rugby, or is this part of his template to look at other sports? We know Jim Gavin likes his American football and the lines being run by the wide receivers for the kickouts.
Mickey will certainly look at everything, but certainly I wouldn't be aware that they've done anything. And in fact, whenever it's put to Mickey about sort of a coach style of attacking, he would always negate that. And certainly it was the same in my team. That
is this the style of Brian Cody? We don't do tactics, or is it legit? What do you think?
No, Tyrone definitely do tactics, all right.
Sure
but in terms of attacking, it would be expected that any man would go. If he sees an opportunity, you would be expected to go. And it's free rein. Anybody can go as long, I would imagine it's sort of free rein. Anybody can go as long as X, Y, and Z are covered. And that would be the rules. In terms of the loop and run, we certainly would have worked on things like that. Wouldn't be a huge change in tactic. Loads of both individual players and teams would have used that in the past. If you're coming up against a line, which you increasingly do in football, you need to at least be running on a diagonal or running on a loop to get yourself back into the game. If you're ahead of the ball and you want to be coming off at pace, you have to almost come back and around. So I think I suppose this would be one thing I'd always point out. Tyrone have adapted to these tactics because they couldn't beat the blanket defence, because they struggled against Donegal. And ironically, they struggled against Dublin way back at the start, I think maybe 2010. We come up against and Dublin just threw us completely. We won all our kickouts. They sat back and we could continually overturn. We didn't know what was happening. And them were the tactics. And we continually tried to just attack even faster. That was Mickey's initial response, to just attack even faster, play our normal game, but play even faster. But it didn't work, and he has transitioned into this sort of more, okay, let's play blanket, but let's try and get in off the shoulder, come at the diagonals, loop around. So whether it was looking at other sports or not, I think it's just, it's the type of runs you need to make to break a line, and rugby always talk about breaking a line, and I suppose now in Gaelic increasingly you are talking about that ability to break a line when teams are setting up them lines on the pitch.
The other thing is obviously what happens with the kickouts, and I mentioned there the kickouts from the 2010 game. There is like a body of evidence that Mickey Hart has been watching over years, going, this is what Cluxton is doing here, here and here, and these are the runs that certain players are making. So you would expect him to have a fairly developed plan for that this weekend.
Yeah, you would, but every time we go into a game, and we've been doing it for 4 or 5 years now, saying that, you know, Cluxton's kickouts are key and they should target the kickout, he pulls off a brilliant kickout performance. You know, last year in the final was one of those in the replay, and the 2013 All-Ireland final as well, he put on a masterclass. So I actually see Tyrone sitting back. I don't think they'll contest the kickout, and I think Dublin,
let them have it.
I think Dublin are set up now where if they're offered their kickout, they will take it every time, and they'll trust themselves to build from the back and get a score.
Yeah, I don't see Stephen Cluxton trying to find some of these runners if Tyrone have their 14 outfield players behind the 45-metre line, or certainly behind the 21-yard line. He'll just pop it to Philly McMahon, he'll pop it out to Johnny Cooper, and Dublin will have to start from there.
But clearly, why would Tyrone not push up?
Because it just means that they will have their defensive platform in place. They don't need to worry about what's happening out the field. They don't need to worry about the runs that Dermot Connolly, if he starts, is making, that Keno Sullivan, that Kieran Kilkenny are making, because they have the system there. Then they're trying to invite Dublin onto them, where they hope they'll turn the ball over and then hit them on the break. If you push up and the ball is kicked over your head for a start, well, then you're in a little bit of trouble and you don't have that shape.
I think it's hard to press up as well. You know, when you attack the way Tyrone do, say they've one man up,
yeah, and then they don't have enough bodies.
You don't have enough bodies. So if you tried to set yourself up, by the time you're almost set, the ball has gone in behind you. So you could see, even in the All-Ireland semi-final last year against Kerry, they only did it after free because they knew
in advance.
We asked Emmett Fitzmaurice afterwards, why didn't you do it in the second half? He just said, well,
there's no time.
We didn't get a score with free. And that's,
yeah, I think that's the bottom line. That's key. I don't think it's going to be one or the other. I think Tyrone have to push up. I think you have to try and pressure Cluxton's kick out at some stage. Dara O'Shea's famous line about hammering the hammer, I mentioned in a paper article during the week. For me, Cluxton is Dublin's hammer. You have to try and put him under some sort of pressure. If you let Dublin just have all their kickouts, they are completely dictating the game, and I don't think you can afford to do that. But the boys are right. The problem most teams have, if they try just a high press, at times you only have two or three bodies up, and then the worst thing about any plan is if it's a half-assed plan. And if you're only three, four men up and you're trying to do a high press, it doesn't come off, Cluxton pins the kickout, and the whole team sort of loses a bit of confidence. I think Tyrone will pick their moments. And for the majority of time, I'd agree. I think they'll probably sit back and Dublin will get their kickouts. But every now and then, say from a 45 or from moments in the game that Tyrone see that they've got a brave few men up the pitch, and maybe Dublin don't have that many men up the pitch, Tyrone will push hard. And if they can overturn one, then they do have lots of players up the pitch and they can get a wee chink of sustained pressure at Dublin. But I think Tyrone will have to at some stage take this game to Dublin and push up hard. But I don't think they'll do it all the time during the game. It's just an impossible thing to pull off against somebody that's as quick and as shrewd as Cluxton and as accurate with his kickouts.
Will Paul Flynn, Dermot Connolly and Michael Darragh McCauley all start on the bench, do you think?
I think so. The only one that I think might be in the frame is Connolly. As the game has gotten closer, I'm sort of convincing myself more that Jim Gavin will start Connolly. I think, you know, the alternative to, you know, if you want to have a few strings to your attacking bow, other than the running game that Dublin are going to play, you're going to have long range shooters. And with Paul Flynn definitely on the bench, I think Connolly is absolutely Dublin's best long range shooter, and the fact that he can do it off both feet makes him harder again to guard.
I guess there's two options, isn't there, if he does want to start him. He either, because he's so undercooked in terms of the games that he's played, you put him in ahead of Paddy Andrews and you put him into the full forward line, or you take Eric Lowndes out of the team and you put Dermot Connolly in the half forward line, which brings in the risk of Connolly having to chase Tiernan McCann all over Croke Park for the first 45-50 minutes, whereas Eric Lowndes is an actual defender, and that's the reason he was picked in the team against Monaghan, so he could snuff out what Carl O'Connell does for Monaghan, and that's what Tiernan McCann will be doing for Tyrone. So if you do start him, let's assume just for the purpose of this discussion that he does start, where do you put him?
Well, where would I put him? I would probably put him in midfield, to be honest, and bring James McCarthy back into defence, because I think Dublin kind of need James McCarthy in defence, and midfield will become this kind of middle third of bodies anyway, where Connolly is very, very comfortable. Or alternatively, switch Kieran Kilkenny into midfield. I think the Eric Lowndes at wing forward marking Carl O'Connell in the quarter final was probably a test run for Peter Hart, and I think he will probably track him. But, you know, we're discussing this all week, and you talk about the lift of the crowd if Connolly comes on. You talk about the lift that Tyrone will get if he starts and plays badly and is taken off. But I think Jim McGavin would be very pragmatic about it. I think if his form is good enough in training, I think he'd play.
But sure, he wasn't allowed to train, was he? This suspension only ends at midnight tonight, right?
I'm sure he looked after himself.
I'm sure there's no form that they have any evidence of.
I heard they were in contact.
Oh, that's funny. And what do you want to happen in those terms? And the other thing is, do you expect Evan McGrew to start? Like, Mickey doesn't tend, I think, to name dummy teams.
No, he will name a 15, and generally speaking, that 15 starts. I have seen him now in times, particularly in the All-Ireland final, where, you know, two fellas have been named to start and then he hasn't started them, which is really tough on them, and they have been sworn to secrecy. The whole team have been sworn to secrecy, and their families have headed off to the All-Ireland final thinking their sons or their partners are starting, and the boys themselves know that they're not. So he will do that, but most often that's not his tactic. He'll start the 15 that he's named, but maybe not in the positions that he's named them. In terms of Connolly, it brings me back to Paul Galvin in the 2008 final, where he had decided to take a referee's notebook at some stage earlier that year and was suspended and came back for the All-Ireland final, and there was a whole willy or won't he start for the All-Ireland final. And I remember our preparation for that, we were sort of prepared absolutely fine for either eventuality, and I think it'll be the same with the German Connolly for Dublin. He's a massively talented player, so he's going to be a problem whether he starts or whether he comes on. If he comes on, people are talking about the lift that he'll give Dublin. I can guarantee you that in the throne mentality, they'll be looking forward to him coming on, because Dublin, they'll know that Dublin are looking to see that as a key moment and a key point to raise their game, and Dublin will, and Tyrone will know if they respond first, then suddenly they nullify a huge lift for Dublin. And it was always part of our psychology for previous games, and I know it'll be part of the players. So if the game is in the mix and Dublin are bringing on Connolly, Tyrone know that this is Dublin's roll of the dice. They know to step on the gas at that exact point. So I wouldn't be really worried either way, bar the bottom line. Dermot Connolly's a fantastic footballer, so he'll be tough to handle no matter. But in terms of the lift, I wouldn't really be worried about that.
This is going to be good. I'm getting excited now. What's going to happen?
I do think Dermot Connolly will start, because you often hear about players being gassed 2 minutes after they come in off from the bench in these huge games, because they just don't have time to get themselves up to the pace of the game, where it could be quite a slow-moving game, particularly if the two of them are pragmatic and try and suss each other out for the first quarter. That will give Dermot Connolly a chance to actually find his feet. And if he is being brought in for the last 20 minutes, there's a good chance Dublin need him to do something. Mm. They may well be losing the game.
There's another sort of very pragmatic point in this, in the Dermot Connolly will he, won't he debate. It's that Dublin will definitely have Bernard Brogan, Paul Flynn, Michael Darmacaulay, Kevin McManaman, Owen O'Garrett, Noyce Cully. So if Connolly doesn't start, somebody doesn't get on. And I think they're all fellas that Jim Gavin will want on the pitch at some stage during the game. So
yeah.
I actually think he's more like, as we get closer now, I think
more likely to start than not.
I think we're talking ourselves into starting.
Who's going to win?
Well, I think Dublin will win. And there are two of the three scenarios that Enda listed earlier. I think there is a chance that Dublin will, because it's Tyrone and there is such a fear factor of what Tyrone can deliver on Sunday, that Dublin will be as dialed in for this game as they have at any stage since Jim Gavin took over, and they could win by 7 or 8 points. But I think it's really unlikely. If Dublin win the game, it's by a couple.
What do you think?
Draw.
Ah, no.
Well, we're going to get a draw, I think, Saturday or Sunday.
At least we get extra time on Saturday.
I still think you can be sure about Dublin. They haven't, like, bar the Donegal game, they don't underperform. You know,
they will bring a level of performance.
I think they're hugely, the fact that they're so patient now and they're so comfortable.
Did they not underperform in last year's All-Ireland final in the drawing game?
Yeah, they probably did. Attacking-wise, I think they were very sluggish. And I think...
And it went through the team, like, Rock's free-taking, which is, like, 99 out of 100 all the time. I don't know. I thought that maybe that was once where we actually saw it.
Yeah, I think they probably peaked last year in the semi-final and you know, they kind of dragged themselves over the line the final.
Fair point,
But I think for that reason and the fact that they started later this year, I think probably athletically and physically, they're a bit fresher. They freshened up their attack as well. Like, it was their attack very much was stale last September.
Yeah.
And since then, like, Paul Mannion's in the team, Conor Callaghan's in the team. So they have changed things quite significantly there. But again, like, with young players like Conor Callaghan and Paul Mannion, you know, you're not absolutely certain of anything, you know. So, you know, you could see Jim Gavin making two substitutes before half time. But look, ultimately, I still think Dublin, you know, it'd be silly not to kind of back them for a win at this stage.
And if there was a gun to your head and the three scenarios that you put to us at the very start of this conversation were on the table, which one would you pick?
I'd be going for Dublin on a narrow win. The one thing that's keeping the hope burning is that Tyrone have a history under Mickey Hart of producing massive performances in certain big games, and the teams just really fly. We have not seen it from this particular group of Tyrone players yet. My team sort of trademark game was the 0-3 semi-final against Kerry, and that was the game that launched us onto it. Tyrone have never produced it, but I do believe it's in them. They've been building for 2-3 years. Without a doubt, they've been building for 2-3 years with Dublin on the horizon. Dublin has been the team. So if they're ever going to produce it, then Sunday's going to be the time. And if it is, it is going to be an awesome game. But for me, when I'm making predictions, I always just stick with the logical approach. And the logical approach here is Dublin wins this game, and Dublin will win it by several points. But isn't sport wonderful for the odd time that it throws up and it knocks down the big boys? So from a Tyrone point of view, that's what we're hoping on Sunday.
All right, thanks, lads. Now, just a reminder that the Off the Ball All-Ireland Football Final Roadshow is locked in for Thursday, September the 14th at Dublin's Olympia Theatre. It's with thanks to AIR, official sponsor of the GAA Football All-Ireland Senior Championship. As we get closer to the date, we're going to be announcing a whole host of footballing greats. Stay listening to Off the Ball to find out who's going to be there. This is going to be an exclusive off-air event, so the only way to be part of it is to be there on the night. To avoid disappointment, get onto newstalk.com/OTBGAA or ticketmaster.ie now for your chance to get tickets. Up next, it's the crappy quiz.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to AIR. Catch all the sports you love free on the AIR Sport Pack with AIR Broadband.